Well, welcome to another episode of the Sal and Bob Show. I am comedian Sal D'Amelio. Across from me today at October Park Studios is the one and only Mr. Bob Phillips. Bob, how you doing, buddy?
I couldn't be better, Sally.
Doing good?
Yeah, we had a great night. It's Sunday night. I don't know what's going on in the sports world, but I know that you and I and our good pal Derek Richards had dinner uptown Northville, Michigan, out in the street.
We did.
We took a special guest, my dog Hannibal, Newfoundland.
Star of the dinner.
Everybody loves Hannibal, 165-pound big brown bear of a dog. We had great food, great wine. We had a little whiskey. And here we are. We're now recording our show.
We had a wonderful dinner down in downtown Northville. We both had a gig on Friday night with Derek. We'd like to thank Janetti's and Laura for all
her
hospitality.
That was so fun.
It was a great show.
The three of us out there telling jokes.
Three of us out there. And for those of you listening in Michigan, we're going to be doing more shows at Janetti's. Matter of fact, our next one is going to be June 5th.
Yes, sir.
And there's going to be others down the line. But check out everything going on at Janetti's. Janetti's.com. Our good friend Jason Magic plays there quarterly.
What an entertaining guy he is.
They just got a lot going on over there, and it's in that downtown Northville area. You can't go wrong.
And let's give a special shout out to our friend Laura Janetti.
She's so great, man.
She's the best.
She knows what she's doing over there.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing. Literally nobody runs a restaurant and a venue like her. And
Incredible. She
is like, I want to say, she's got this sort of funny, I don't know, tough girl exterior, but she's a mushball inside. We love her. And thanks for booking us. Thanks for, putting on, keeping your restaurant open and helping the people of Northville get through this pandemic.
Yep,
you're doing a great job, babe.
Done a great job. And you are getting ready to go on the road.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Literally, like, in the next 24 hours, you'll be going to Myrtle Beach.
Flying out to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I have never been there. It's a club called the Comedy Cabana.
Good club.
And that's everything I've heard from you and our pal Derek Richards, who got me booked there. It's a wonderful place, and I can't wait, man. This is the first flight I'm taking pandemic comedy-wise.
So this is your first flight.
We've been driving a lot of places.
I took a flight last year, actually, when I went to the Comedy Cabana.
Did you?
During the
COVID era?
Yeah, end of September I went. So it was even more in the middle of it than it is now, I guess. I don't know if that makes sense, but it was in the heart of it. And it's weird. It's just weird.
Times were really bad back then. We didn't have vaccines. We didn't have nothing. We had masks. That was it.
I think I talked about it on one of our podcasts, but I had my mask on the whole flight, but every time I lowered my mask to either eat some peanuts or take a drink, it seemed like the flight attendant was looking at me,
Give you peanuts and a drink then? Are you supposed to eat it through the mask?
It's just like at the bars. When you order a beer at the bar, they want you to drink it and then put your mask up every sip, It's impossible.
It's getting nutty, isn't it?
What are you going to do? But then you might experience that, but you're in first class. Maybe they won't care. I don't know.
I think masks are mandatory no matter what class you're in. But hey, we have a special shout out to our producer, Nate Armbruster, who turns 15 today. Happy birthday, Nate. You do a great job. You make us sound better than we actually are.
Yeah, he does a good job, man. And I'm actually going to be at on Saturday. Saturday, April 24th, I will be at Flanagan's Pub in Lapeer, Michigan for a comedy show. So if you're in the Lapeer, Flint area, that's where I will be. As you will be in Myrtle Beach, I will be in Lapeer on Saturday night.
Well, we're both going to be by water.
What else is going on? It's tax season. Now, normally you'd have to turn in your taxes on April 15th, which would have been a couple days ago. You would have had them in by Friday the 15th, but now it's been extended to May 15th, and people are bitching on Twitter about that should be extended. another month. We just had the worst year of our lives financially.
Yeah. It's
planning
been a rough
your finances,
one.
Trying
States.
To pay for this stuff. So what do you think? Do you think it should be like July 15th?
You know, I mean, six of one, half a dozen of another.
Doesn't
Who
matter.
Cares? May 15th, July 15th, whatever it is.
Get them done right
yeah,
off.
I mean, yeah, you could push it out. I mean, this has been such a hard year for so many people. I've been very lucky. I was minimally affected by COVID. I like every other comedian, like you, like Derek, like Nate, like all of our friends in the comedy business, had dozens of dates canceled, right? But financially it didn't hit me too hard. And so I hope that, you know, that the IRS goes gentle on people.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think they will. I mean, hey, they gave a break on people that got unemployment. They gave you a break of $10,200.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, you don't have to pay taxes on $10,200.
So the first $10,200, no taxes
of
on
your
that.
Unemployment. Yes.
Okay, well that's what they
so
should
that's
do.
That's huge, you know.
Yeah.
So that's good. So we'll see on that. Oh, I need to do a shout out to a guy by the name of Ted Moss. I did his podcast called Ted Talks Too Much, and I did the second installment. So listen to that on. All your platforms.
You had
for
a
podcasts.
Second installment?
Yes. On that? Yes, it's my
How
second.
How long was this podcast?
First one I did was a couple hours. The second
All
one
right,
I did
man.
Was a couple hour
hey,
interview. We talked about everything. Man.
Well,
he talks too much. Ted talks too much.
Ted talks too much. I was going to say.
That's the show.
That's kind of where I was going with that joke. But if you want to hear, okay, I have an idea. You told me a little bit about it, but I have an idea of the kinds of things you talked about. Young comedians. People just getting into this or people that have been in it a while, but you know, they're not traveling and they're not making it their career. Listen to Sal's interview on that show because Sal is going to give you the ins and outs. He's going to give you some wisdom. He's going to give you some hard fought knowledge from being in the comedy trenches.
Well, you're in the comedy trenches too, buddy. You've done it. You've done
we
it.
We are,
you
man.
You know what you're doing. And, you know, you're going to, like you said, you haven't traveled for comedy in a while, so you're going to, you're
Not
going down
airplane.
South, man.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking forward
going
to that.
To
we got
south.
About a two-hour flight. Derek and I will be on that. I think it's a 10 o'clock flight. I'm so giddy. I'm absolutely giddy to be getting on a plane for the first time in 14
Bring
months.
Bring your masks.
Oh, yeah.
Bring about two or three masks. You might go through them.
Yeah.
You know, bring your luggage. You know,
well, I'll bring that, definitely. And the merch. I got a merch bag.
Yeah, merch bag. All right.
Lots of stupid
you
stuff.
You
got to
hope you
I'll
pay for that merch bag. You know, the merch bag, let's say it costs you $60.
Right.
Right? So if your shirts are $20,
t-shirts.
That's three t-shirts.
Yeah.
So you got to sell those on hopefully Tuesday night.
Well, if I don't sell three t-shirts in 5 days down there, I have no business getting on an airplane.
Well, I will give you that. Not that I'm not saying you won't sell your t-shirts, but you got to remember that Myrtle Beach is t-shirt heaven. There's a t-shirt store every freaking 3 feet.
Yeah, that's
so,
true. That's
you know,
true. Yeah.
Just take that into consideration that people can get a t-shirt very easily down. Now, they can't get your t-shirt.
That's right.
So you got to sell that baby.
I got to sell
from
that.
The stage.
I might get the What About Bob t-shirt down there that just says, I'm on vacation. Don't hassle me. I'm on vacation. Remember that one?
Yeah.
What a great movie that was.
Yeah.
Don't hassle me. I'm on vacation. I'm sailing. I love that movie.
So you probably go see a movie too during the week. I mean,
I
you
think
might
so.
Have some time down, so you might, you know, South Carolina is wide open. That's a state that
I love,
theaters
I love
are
movies,
open.
Sure.
Everything's open. Which by the way, which gets me to the next thing I want to talk about. I just read this article where it said the 23 things that were affected in our lives because of COVID. Now, I'm sure you can probably guess some of them, but
23.
There's 23.
I can guess
things.
Some of them.
You're gonna know all of them.
Okay.
So do you want me to start going down?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, long before COVID-19 battered the globe, e-commerce and the proliferation of payment apps have been replacing cash transactions. According to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, cash represented just 30% of all payments in 2017. The fear of handling paper money contaminated with the coronavirus has accelerated the digital marketplace. With so many brick-and-mortar businesses closed, there's a tremendous decrease in in-person transactions. Prior to the COVID-19 epidemic, about one-third of Americans under the age of 50 made no purchases in a typical week using cash. So basically, wow, what I'm saying is, cash is almost non-existent now because of COVID-19, especially yeah, the younger generation. You got the debit card, you got this, you got cash yeah, apps, you yeah, got so.
Okay, that makes sense.
What do you think about that, man? You don't
well,
need that cash
no,
anymore.
That's a little surprising, but you know, when I think about it just for a moment, it does make sense. I want to say that I don't know why I chose this moment a year into the pandemic, but a couple weeks ago I took all the change in my you know, my change bucket
yeah,
on my dresser, and I took it to Coinstar.
Yeah, I love Coinstar.
And it really felt weird just holding coins because I haven't done that in yeah, over a year. Isn't that weird when you get coins in? You're like, what is this? What I got to get this out. I don't want this in my pocket, you know? So I took it to a Coinstar, and I don't know if you know this, but you have several options when you put your change in there. And I'm always amazed at how much money I have in change.
Yeah.
I had $116 in this little
yeah, that's
you know,
what I have
glass
every time I empty this
thing.
Little thing that I got. You know,
yeah. And yeah, they give you options. You can take the, you can't take, well,
you can take cash.
You can take cash, but it's less 10%, right? They take their cut
no,
right off
the
top.
They take it out right when they're counting your change.
It's, right. So
it's like De Niro in Casino. They yeah, take right, their money right away. They, you know, there's no sending it in.
And by the way, let's talk about De Niro after this because there's a great article about how he has to take every acting job that comes his way now because his former wife, Grace yeah, Hightower, is just yeah, yeah, raking him. Okay, so anyway, I thought this was interesting. I'm standing at
yeah,
the
she
coin
doesn't
star,
take cash either.
No, she doesn't take cash.
Cards.
No, it's debit cards and huge checks every month. She was getting $350,000 a month
well,
from this guy.
Wow.
And then
De Niro's last name means De Niro. It means money in,
yeah,
in a way.
The
right?
Money, right?
Yeah, so wow, that's perfect. You know?
All right. I don't know what Hightower means, but it sounds like the leech. But hey, everybody's got an ex-wife somewhere. But so if you go to Coinstar, they'll give you options to take cash less 10%, or you can give it to charity. And I thought, yeah, I don't want to walk out of here with a you know bunch of ones or whatever. So
yeah,
it was called Gleaners. You know, it was
okay,
a food for the hungry. And it felt good to just say, you know, donate it there.
Yeah.
I didn't get any, you know, quarters in my pocket. And,
you know, it's
somebody
funny,
got
I
some
actually
food.
Still use change a lot. I still, like, if I go to Starbucks or if I go to CVS or something like that, and I'm only getting, like, something that costs, like, $7, $8 or something
yeah,
like that, if I got a 10 in my pocket, I'm using the 10. I'm not using yeah, my debit card. And I feel like sometimes if it's a younger cashier,
yeah,
I feel like I'm pissing them off. Like they're like, wait a minute, why aren't you using your card?
What are you
else?
Doing, old man, giving us
yeah,
this?
And they got to look at the change and they got to figure it out. And
yeah,
I really think like I pissed these guys off sometimes.
Well, it's got to be the lesser of the transactions
yes,
being done.
Yes, definitely
now.
Is. You know, and they got to yeah, give me, you know, 36 cents back and they're, you know, they got to figure it out.
Yeah, everybody's
sometimes they
got
to break up the penny thing. They got to slam
exactly,
that against the
and they're doing it angrily. What are you doing giving me this money?
Right?
This,
you know, one time a guy was looking for a roll of pennies. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I'm looking for. I go, don't worry about the pennies. Just give me 35 back.
Yeah,
don't
who cares? Yeah, who cares?
You know.
But, you know,
so anyway, that's what's going on with cash. But
all right, so you got a lot to get to here.
Well,
I'm sorry.
No, it's
I
okay.
You.
We're
go
talk.
Ahead.
The next one's very easy. I don't need to read it through. It's kind of. It's kind of in our field. I mean, it's not really talking about stand-up comedy, but they're talking about basically going to see your favorite band. I mean, that's pretty much
oh, yeah,
that's pretty much done. We know that the music industry has been hit even more than stand-up comedy because the music industry deals with a lot of people even more than stand-up comedy. I mean, you're talking concerts of 10,000 people, 5,000 people.
Yeah.
That industry is done. And let's see what it says here. In case of music industry, we have sent a complete stop in the production of live events. However, artists are evolving to offer live streaming concerts. So that's what's going on with the music industry. They're doing live streaming concerts to make some money.
I'm not going to a streaming concert. I don't care. This thing is over with by July. And yeah. I'm not going to a streaming concert. I'm going to a real concert or nothing.
Yeah. So basically, that's what's going on in the music industry. So that was another one, and that's affected the stand-up business as well, but music industry even more for some of these major bands. So, what was the last concert you went to? Do you even remember
the last concert? I don't remember the last. I want to say the last live show. I mean, big live show with thousands of people. I went to see Steve Martin and Martin Short at Meadowbrook.
Okay. Oh, okay. That was like, and it was delightful. Kind of thing, obviously,
yeah. It was probably 4 years ago.
Okay.
That tells you the extent of my concert going.
I can't remember the last. I mean, probably like just a local band around here is probably what I went and did. I can't remember the last. Maybe Bruce Springsteen, like in 2018, I went to Cleveland, to see him. But that's about it. The third thing is brick and mortar buildings. That the basically the office industry. A lot of businesses now are remotely working from home.
Man,
it is killing the commercial real estate business. That's what the third one here is about. There's some sort of stat here. In 26 states, they've implemented remote online notarizations, which means a lot of businesses can just do online things now, whether it's Secretary of State things. It has just killed the brick and mortar.
Yeah, I would not want to be a commercial real estate owner right now because it's going to be years before that comes back.
Yep. And this next one is kind of ties to our friend Derek, who you're going to be working with, who's from Las Vegas. Well, what's one of the biggest things that happens in Las Vegas in the casinos, Bob? What is one of the biggest things that people used to love to do?
Shows, man. Going to shows.
Not only that, food-oriented.
Buffets.
Yes, those are done. They said they might not even never come back.
Really?
Quarantines and lockdowns have left the food service industry cold, with Yelp reporting that nearly 16,000 restaurants have permanently closed since the coronavirus began spreading in the United States in March 2020. The FDA recommended discontinuing self-service buffets and salads bars. Until we're safe from the spread of the virus, once a staple at casinos, hotels, and family-focused eateries, buffet-style dining may be off the table. United States buffets piled on some $5 billion in 2019. According to the NPD Group, a market research firm accounting for only about 1% of the total restaurant business. So that business is done. $5 billion in buffets.
Oh, wow. Well, don't be a Chinese buffet owner, and don't be a commercial real estate business person. You know what? But buffets, this whole thing has been proven. The COVID is airborne. It doesn't matter. It's not getting in food. It's not hurting you to get to a buffet. This is crazy.
And the sneeze guard was protective. You know, that little.
Yeah, the sneeze guard. It's got everybody's back. I don't know. Some of this, is just fear. It's not rooted in science. It's not rooted in fact.
Yeah.
You can go to a buffet is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but they're saying that, who knows if that, I mean, it probably will come back eventually. But it's going to be a while. That'll be the last thing. You won't see a buffet at a casino for a really long time.
I'm going to bet that casino owners are probably glad of that for right now because it was just a huge expense to draw people in. You know, you get the penny slot people and the quarter slot and the low margin blackjack players that are going crazy for the buffet. If they don't have to put it out now and people are going to come in, good for them.
Yeah. Okay. Another one kind of ties to that cash a little bit, but writing checks. People are done writing checks.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason for that is because a lot of Americans are working at home, so they're not, a typical day for somebody would be maybe drive to the office. If they got paid on a Friday, they would stop at the bank on the way home, right, to deposit that check.
Yeah.
Well, now they're working from home, so the company is paying them direct deposit, and there's no checks anymore.
Right.
You know? So,
I mean, I haven't written a check in probably 5 years anyway.
Oh, really? Wow. I still write a lot of checks.
It's all electronic.
Let's see. Your checks are considered an old school method of payment. Not only are they less convenient, but they're also less secure than debit and credit cards. For example, you can easily close a debit or credit card if it gets lost or stolen, but if a check falls into the wrong hands, your bank account number and address has just been compromised by a
complete
stranger. With the world moving in a paperless direction, checks are quickly becoming phased out. So just take that into consideration, you know. The next one's very easy to figure out. Gyms, Bob. Gyms are done. And, you know, exercise is essential to physical and mental health, and there are many, many benefits of group fitness, including motivation and camaraderie, but working outdoors with other people could increase your chance of infection. So a lot of these gyms are going out of business, man. I mean, I know I was part of Lifetime, and I loved it, but I couldn't afford it after the pandemic,
Yeah.
And
I don't want
people
to
are working out outside now, and people are starting to, I hate to say it, but people are realizing, oh my God, you know, I'm getting in shape just working outside. I don't need the gym, you know?
Yeah, that's
true.
So
it's probably hurting that industry, but it'll be back, you know, it'll be back.
It'll be back. I mean, it's going to take some time for these places that rely on, you know, big groups of people to make money, but it's all coming back.
Now, this is a weird one. What would you think about house keys?
House keys.
Traditional house keys were already waning in popularity ahead of the pandemic, mostly because they're so easy to misplace. A 2017 survey from the Pixie found that 28% of Americans reported losing them at least once a week. Technology is making house keys obsolete. Wait. In combination deadbolts, smart locks, and touchscreen locks, allowing people to simply punch in codes. Apps are another alternative. So that's what's going on. Keys are going to be, might see keys go out of business.
How many, 25% of people are losing their house keys a week? What are you, drunk? Why would you lose your house key that often? I mean, I don't have a house key. It's all electronic entry around here.
Okay. So
but I had house keys.
Yeah.
I didn't lose it.
I still do. 25% of the time. I have my house keys. I got my Kroger card attached to my house keys. I got all that stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Here you go. This is something you're doing. Air travel, international travel options.
Oh, international travel. Okay.
Yeah, well, air travel in general right now is down, and we all know that. International travel is really down. Options to popular tourist destinations like the Caribbean, Egypt, and Serbia are slowly reemerging after the COVID-19 pandemic essentially cut off Americans from the rest of the world. Most Americans have canceled or postponed overseas travel as they anxiously await a vaccine. The use of air travel will go down and pressure to improve passenger experience and clean up the industry will increase, said Bennett Cohen, a partner at San Francisco venture capital firm Piva. The longer people feel uncomfortable with air travel, the more they will shift routine trips and annual traditions toward alternatives that don't require the headaches of flying. While the CO2 intensity and discomfort of air travel is already causing many to think twice about their level of flying, being pushed to do without may permanently reduce the habit for many, both for business and pleasure. So they're saying people might travel less, might fly less.
Okay. I don't know where I stand on that, but
That's going to go back up as soon as this is all over. Flights will go back up.
Just get the vaccine, people.
Just get the vaccine.
Get the damn shot in your arm and move on with life.
Another Vegas thing, business conventions. Obviously, those are down. Bringing throngs of people together from all over the world was, until a few months ago, a typical practice across a wide range of industries. But in-person conferences and conventions are impossible during a pandemic. And desktop cloudware makes the digital experience cheaper, easier, and potentially the wave of the future. Boy, I feel sorry for some of those guys that just finished college. They got their degree. For years and years, these companies would bring you to Vegas and the Caribbean.
Yeah, right.
Now these guys are doing Zoom meetings now. You know?
Welcome aboard.
Yeah, welcome aboard.
Here's your Zoom pass.
Boy, they got screwed, didn't they? They were going to get
dinners and
shows in Vegas and all expense paid and blah, blah, blah. Now they're getting a 12-pack of Keurig sent to their house. drink these during the meeting, buddy. Pants? Yes, Bob, pants. What'd you think?
I would think the sales of pants have gone down.
Pants have said, working remotely during the pandemic has created a far more casual workforce. It may be 4 months since you donned a pair of proper pants, the kind that zip, button, and possibly require a belt. Loungewear and sleep apparel are for more appealing for those in lockdown. Adobe's Digital Economy Index, which tracks more than 100 million product variants online, found that pajama sales spiked 143% in April and March, while sales of pants declined by 13%.
Okay, I don't doubt that. I'm wearing pajamas right now. I got my jungle safari pajamas on. Do you like these?
So that's what's going on. So it started a line of pajamas. Bob Phillips pajamas would do.
Yeah, got pinstripes on them.
Yep. Handshakes, Bob. Yeah. Handshakes are out. We know that.
Many Except for that moron at the show the other night, the close talker who kept wanting to shake our hands and get right in our face. It's like, dude, I'm vaccinated, but you're kind of pissing me off.
Yeah, some people still don't stay 6 feet apart, right? But many people learned
with that guy
to shake hands firmly to impart confidence and ease. Now people are learning not to touch anything and to wash their hands numerous times throughout the day. During the previous for the TEFAF Matrix Global Art Fair during the first week of the March, exhibitors and collectors from all over the world greeted each other with what became called the TFAF elbow bump. So the elbow bump.
Okay. I'm not doing the elbow bump.
I'll do the fist bump, but I'm not doing the elbow one. I mean, Jesus, international travel, that's on here. We just kind of talked about that. High heels, Bob.
High heels?
Are you not wearing your high heels anymore?
Not tonight.
Obviously,
Sunday.
That has something to do with the guy's pants. Maybe on the women's side, it's high heels. They're not going to offices.
Well,
so they're not going to wear high heels walking around their house.
Well, that's a bummer.
Sales of high heels were sliding ahead of the pandemic, with the MPT Group Inken's retail tracking service reporting that United States high heel sales decreased by 12% in 2017. That was way before the pandemic. While women's sneakers rose by 37%. That was in 2017.
Come on, ladies. Step it up a little bit.
It was already going towards the sneakers away from high heels.
Okay. Not a trend that we like, regardless of pandemic. We want the high heels, girls.
Well, it says right here, according to the Washington Post, without after work cocktails, galas, or events, there's no reason to balance in stilettos.
Well, that is true. And so, I think women everywhere are rejoicing.
Yeah.
They didn't wear them for themselves.
Yeah.
It was all us.
Bunions have gone down.
20%. Yeah, bunion surgery has definitely gone down.
Malls, I think we've talked about this already on another podcast. We knew that we read somewhere, but shopping malls have been waning in popularity amid the rise of online shopping's trend. Obviously, that accelerated during the pandemic shutdown. So malls are becoming obsolete, Bob.
Yeah, I heard, and I love this idea. There's one here close to us called 12 Oaks in Novi, Michigan, which is about, 6 miles north of us, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's been around since the mid-70s. It's a beautiful mall, like, a lot of the malls are. It's an upscale place. But they're talking now about making it a residential space.
Yeah.
Now, I thought that would be so cool to
live. That does sound good.
In a mall. Like, I want to buy the space that I worked in when I was a kid, the men's store that I worked at for 3 years at 12 Oaks and make it an apartment.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Sounds great.
And if you could keep like half of the stores and then have the rest residences, that would be so cool to wake up in the morning.
That could be a future. I think that sounds good, Bob.
I'd like that.
Well, speaking of living in a mall, open houses are done.
Yeah.
Before the pandemic, buying a house without exploring it in person first sounded like a ludicrous idea. But now people are just doing these virtual tours.
Yeah.
And if you like the house, you're buying. I don't know if I can spend like $200,000 on something and not ever be in it. There's just no way.
I'd have to see it.
People are buying this stuff virtually, and I don't know, man. That would suck if you go there and it doesn't look anything like it did in virtual.
All the pictures are phony.
That'll happen. They put bunny ears on my house to make it look better.
Yeah, they did a Snapchat filter on my new home. I got bunny ears and whiskers. What the hell's going on here?
Open offices. We kind of already talked about that. College textbooks are down. I don't know.
Nobody wants to touch anything.
I see that. Business cards, Bob. Yeah. Like handshakes, exchanging business cards was one standard practice among professionals. Those days were already winding down before the pandemic, thanks to the prevalence of smartphones and their ability to store names and other information. So nobody, you can just say, Google me, blah, blah, blah. But right. in our business, it's always good to have a card. That'll never wane.
I mean, our customers are usually people that are half drunk, leaving a comedy club, and you got to hand them something.
Absolutely. Paper contracts, same thing. No more paper contracts. A lot of people are doing digital contracts. That makes sense. Laminated menus, Bob. Have you noticed that there's laminated menus?
No, I haven't seen any menus.
No, they do it on this phone now. They we just did it.
Although our friend Derek and I, we were at breakfast at a beautiful place uptown Northville called Rebecca's today, and they had laminated menus. But they've always had laminated menus.
Yeah, so you're going to see that in the future. You'll never see a menu now without lamination. Obviously, payphones. Do we even need to go over this one? This one shouldn't even be on the list. Payphones have been gone for a long time.
Yeah, that's dumb. Well, that's been 10 years.
They're still around. Let me see. What does it say? Any interesting stat here? In 1999, Bob, there were around 2 million payphones, but that number has plummeted with only 100,000 still clinging to life as of 2018.
Wait, there's still 100,000?
Still 100,000 out
there. Okay, there's 50 states in the Union. That means there's 2,000 payphones per state. Do you even know where any of them are?
I think there's one in an adult video store of 94.
Yeah.
Jesus, I can't believe there's 100,000.
I guess, you know,
somebody's servicing those. I mean, those have to be fixed. They have to be emptied.
Yeah. I mean, they're still great for criminal activity because you can't be traced. Well, no, you can, because you can be on a payphone, right, and making a call, and somebody's recording you. There's a camera somewhere.
Yeah.
If you're outside.
Correct.
So you're not getting away from that.
Those are some of the just some of them. That's about it. I just wanted to bring those up. But
yeah,
that was an
good
interesting
topic.
List.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of lists, let's talk a moment about people we want to give a shout out to. People who are regular listeners of the Sal and Bob Show. People we appreciate. I want to say right now, my brother-in-law John Grisbeck, wonderful guy. He is a big fan of the show. This is for you, sir. My father-in-law, Bernie Grisbeck, and his wife, Connie, friends and fans of the show. Just thought I'd put that out there, you know, say thanks for listening.
No,
thanks for being fans.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, my brother listens all the time. So thanks to my brother, Frank and Nick. They always
listen
to us.
All right, Frank and Nick. Yeah.
They love listening to us. So yeah, I'm glad you said that. I'd give a shout out to my two brothers. It was sibling day last week.
I didn't
do the picture thing.
I didn't either.
They don't call me. They're not into that stuff kind of stuff either. But
they wouldn't know if you posted it anyway.
They don't pay attention to that. They would. They would know, but
okay.
It's not something they did or I did. I saw it. Other people posted. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know it was sibling day, you know?
But since we're giving shout-outs to people, let's also say to groups of listeners, we love this. We're not entirely sure why, but people in Ireland love the Sal and Bob Show.
Yes.
So to the Emerald Isle, we'd like to say thank you for listening.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And we have a big following in France and Spain.
We do.
And we're happy about that. We love that. What a lot of Americans don't get is that in France and in Spain, English is a second language, but it's a mandatory second language. So here in the States, we're kind of like, we know English, and maybe a few of us know a little Spanish and a little French, but over there, English is mandatory. So they listen. And we got huge groups over there. We got thousands of listeners. We're happy about that. Australia, we love our Aussie friends, right?
Yep.
New Zealand, Germany, and we even have at one point we had something like over 4,000 listeners in China.
It's great. So we're worldwide, man.
Yeah. Here's to you, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being fans of the show. Thanks for keeping our numbers up. It's wonderful to be a part of your day.
We're gonna get back out there to steakhouses. We'll be talking about steakhouses soon, but right now, it's just really tough. It's tough, you know. We tried sitting in igloos and trying to do the show.
Yeah, the igloo. I mean, I know that was a good idea for the restaurants.
We got to get in the booth and loud and packed. And
yeah, that's what we got to do.
Some guy in the corner playing, you know, Copacabana by Barry Manilow. We need to hear that. You know, we need to hear
Copacabana. I mean, where did that reference come from?
You just need a one man band in a corner of a steakhouse
bar. Yeah,
you
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's when we shine.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then we shine after them when they're done. And we
well, I mean, if we could have, if all of our shows were preceded by some of the ones we did in Wisconsin and Chicago, you know, where we did the Sal and Bob show live, that would always be fun. But
yeah,
we're still a little bit away from that. I think I was overly optimistic a few months ago. I said this thing would be done by June. I don't think so now, because you have, I'm actually hearing, which is stunning to me, that there are people, like 50% of the people in the United States are like, no, I'm not going to get the vaccine. And the vaccine, there is a huge backlog of it. They have more than people want to get.
Wow. You know, this last week, now that you bring it up, you know, Johnson & Johnson, you know, paused their vaccine. Now, here, I was thinking about it at first. I'm like, and I haven't gotten the vaccine yet, but I was thinking about it. I'm like, wow, that's crazy, you know. But then I heard, I forgot who said it, but it was on one of these news stations. They said, think about it. For you to get a blood, and the reason they paused it because like 8 women got blood clots around the world or whatever from the vaccine, right?
Not big numbers. Which,
no, it's like 1 in a million chance for you getting a. And this particular journalist or this particular person that was on the show said, think about it. If they're willing to pause the vaccine for a 1 in a million chance of getting a blood clot, then they're serious about making it really, really safe.
Well, yeah.
Right? Because they're pausing it for something that happened to only 8 people out of, you know, millions of doses. So when I looked at it that way, I was like, because at first I was like, wait a minute, I'm not getting the Johnson & Johnson. I don't want no part of it. You know, that's what my attitude was. But then when I heard that guy say, hey, look, they're pausing this thing for a minor incident. That means they are serious about making it 100% foolproof.
Now, see, that's the way I look at it. Okay, you and I are not conspiracy theorists. We're not people that sit around and look for the negative in a world full of positive. And I agree with you on that. It's overwhelmingly effective. And while I don't like to see anybody have any negative effects, every vaccine has been like that. The flu vaccine has negative effects.
Yep.
And I do, you know, I don't want to be cavalier about it, but I rolled the dice. I knew it wasn't, you know, this thing hasn't been out for 50 years, but I didn't want to get the damn COVID. So, put the shot in my arm.
Yeah, and you did it, and you felt a little, you know, queasy for a while, but you're good now.
Yeah,
you're
good
fully
now.
Fully vaccinated. You're
and now
going
I'm
on
able
the road.
To get on a plane and not worry about it. Yep. So I feel good about that. But
yeah,
and to everyone who's had issues with it, I feel bad for them, but I don't think that's any different than any medicine or vaccine that's ever been developed.
Well, it sounds like they know what they're doing. I mean, it's obviously it's worked. I think somebody already said it. It's going to be an annual shot. It's just
sure
be
it
like
is.
The flu
just
shot.
Like the flu.
So you're going to go in and you're going to either get your flu and your COVID, or you're just going to get your COVID, or you're going to get neither, or you're going to get both. Whatever. It's going to be like that every year now.
And by the way, this is not a political issue. And here's the biggest evidence of that. President Biden and former President Trump both got the vaccine.
Correct.
So let's not split this down party lines, okay? Both your guys got it.
Yes. Well, it's funny. I've seen some Democrats on TV say, you know, they're getting the shot now, but they didn't want it when Trump was president. Guess what? You're getting his shot still.
Yeah.
He was the one that originally manufactured this,
well,
right?
He put the money in place to get it manufactured.
So you're an idiot for saying I didn't want to take it in December when he was president. Now I'll take it now. Well, you're an idiot because it's still his shot.
If I could have gotten it in December, I would have. So
yeah,
I don't care who put the money up.
Some
I don't
people
care
like
whose
that,
idea it was,
which is funny to me. But
yeah,
whatever.
It is. That's how divided we are. That's how nutty it's become.
That's exactly right. So, hey, man, anything else you want to promote, man? I think we've had a great episode.
No,
I know you got to get packing and you're going
on
a trip.
Yeah, we're
going
to have to do that.
You're going on a trip, man. I hope you have a great time down
Thanks,
there.
Thanks, buddy.
Safe,
I appreciate
safe travels.
It. I'll send you a postcard.
Wish you all the best down there with Derek.
Thank you, man.
I know you guys
are doing
some other stuff.
And you as well with your shows while I'm away. It's always fun to be with you, sir. And we had a great day today. We had some wine. We had a lot of jokes, a lot of good times up at the restaurant in Northfield.
Good laughs, man. We wrote a lot of stuff down. And it's just good to see, you know, things getting back open. I mean, I'm noticing a lot of shows on Facebook, man. Just noticing a lot of shows popping up, a lot of show posters and tweets and Instagram posts of shows. And it's just... it's great. And although Michigan is at the highest rate of COVID we've ever had.
Yeah, which is really weird. Still, what does that even mean?
Things are still happening.
And we had the most stringent requirements for restaurants.
So there's a lot of
talk about
that.
It wasn't a lockdown. It was 50% capacity, you know, 11 p.m. curfew. We had the most stringent requirements, and yet we lead the nation in infection. That just goes to tell you that nobody knows this thing completely.
No, you don't know because it's the different variants. This B117, you know, which sounds like a vitamin I got to take tomorrow with my vitamin D. But it came from England. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows where. But
that's rampant in Michigan for some reason. I don't know if it has to do with our lakes, our water. I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows?
We're leading the nation. We're number one, and we gotta get that down. But where you're going, you will see the difference. You will see the difference. I mean, South Carolina is a more open state, and you're going to see, I know I was down there in September, this was 7 months ago, and I went to a bar or something, and people didn't have masks on, and you will see less masks down there than you do here.
I don't doubt it.
It's crazy. It's just
Do you figure that Texas a month ago said no more masks, no more quarantine, or no lockdowns, nothing. We're fully open, have at it. Yep. And they've been stable, right?
Yep.
Here we are in Michigan.
Yeah.
Tight requirements and bam, leading the nation. And in fact, I don't know.
So you don't know.
Let's end on a positive note.
Positive
note. I want to say I like your shirt, Sal.
Thank you.
You got a great shirt on tonight. It's kind of a purple
polo.
A polo. It's a very tight check pattern. It's very becoming. You look good.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
No
really
problem.
Like it's one of my favorite shirts.
Yeah.
Appreciate you saying that.
So that's it for me, man.
All right. Well, hey, don't tell people about BobPhillips.com. Check out all
your God, we're
shows.
So social, aren't we?
At Bob the Suit, at Sally
at SallyDO8.
SalDemilio.com. Have a great time down there with Derek Richards. I know he's doing some really cool stuff down there. Before your week starts, he's doing a...
He's got a whole new gig that he's working,
really,
and we'll talk
really
about
cool.
that next time after
really
we
cool.
get
we'll
back.
We'll talk about it next time, as you're going to see him do that.
Yes.
But we wish him all the best.
Proud members on his book. Yes, proud members of the Perfecta Podcast Network.
Yes. I would like to thank those guys, Ross Duncliffe, Matt Holt, and all the great podcasts that those guys have on their site. Anyway, man, that's about it, man. Thank you so much for listening to the Sal and Bob Show. We will see you next week when Bob gets back from Myrtle Beach. We'll have another show. So keep listening. Keep sharing us on all the outlets. We really appreciate you guys listening to us and always checking in on us. And we hope you guys are all healthy and doing great out there.
Yes, sir.
And good luck to you this week, Bob.
Thank you, Sally. Good night, everyone.
We'll see you next time on the Sal and Bob Show.